I appreciate that, Ron, more than you'll ever know. And when you hit holy, both verses truly just hit a place in the heart. As I shared, my energy is just not quite where I would like it. So I'm pulling out the stool. But how I hope that this is a testament and a reminder, and I see this so often in the church, we bring what we have and let God do the rest. And I can't imagine how you felt, especially going yesterday and me, like, I can't imagine singing and to come out and still be to give all you have for your voice. And God truly lifted it up. And that is a holy, holy hymn that I hope brings you to a place of celebration and joy. And that is a lesson in ministry. How often does God call you and you say, oh God, I just couldn't. I don't have the energy. I don't have the strength. I don't have the talent. I don't have dot, dot, dot. And then we've missed the whole point of ministry because we think it's all on our shoulders. I promise you, when you put ministry out there, you're not alone. That God will lift you up and carry you. And even if it's not the way you wanted to deliver that ministry, how it still speaks volumes to others. How sometimes when we show up and go, this is all I got, how that encourages someone else, like, me too. I'm also in a place of not strength. I'm also in a place where I'm not feeling the most talented or the most useful. But God still works. How God has a purpose for you to share God. Today we are on an adventure of joy. And as we taught that verse to the kids, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, how I sometimes laugh at that so often. Because I will tell you, I avoid the words always and never as often as possible. Because I find it very hard to ever keep that term. But God calls us to be joyful always. And then the next verse is just as hard. Pray without ceasing. To always be in continuous prayer. But that's what our lives are. Once we declare, I am Christian, we are claiming Christ. And so every conversation we have, silent or verbally, is in communion with God. And then the next one, that Paul was just on a roll, I tell you, when he was writing this letter. And give thanks in all circumstances. Oh, there are times I do not have a thankful heart. I tell you, when I heard that positive COVID, I was irate. And then it came back to me what I had been praying for months when I've been looking at the schedule of December. God, where will I find rest? So when December 1st, I got a positive test, he's like, well, right here, let me clear your schedule wide and clear. And once again, I was like, God, that's not exactly what I meant. Well, I guess you need to be more specific in those prayers, don't you? But how God does meet us where we are. So that we can give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We don't have to like them all. We don't have to be happy all the time. That's not what joyful is. But it is always knowing the hope of the message, of knowing our faith can persist even when the world is crumbling around us. That is some good news to celebrate. And a reason to have joy. Now I'd like to share with you someone in the Bible that you probably know pretty well. But if you would join me in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 2 through 11, where once again we meet John the Baptist. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The word of joy for the people of joy. Thanks be to God. Have you fallen in love? I'm talking head over heels, encompassing, total thoughts, total heart, in love with Jesus. And if you haven't, why not? What are you waiting for? Someone who will love you unconditionally? Someone who will be truthful always? Someone who desires a personal relationship with you? Someone who is willing to live with you, die for you, and to come back again? What an incredible story. I hope that story fills you with joy, because it is true for every single one of us. Jesus desires that personable relationship with you. And though he walked the earth almost 2,000 years ago, over 2,000 years ago, he still is alive today. That's pretty incredible. And the joy of his message, to love one another. He doesn't even require that of you to have his love, but he does encourage that. He does want you to love each other. Now, there's a magazine called Guideposts. It comes out monthly. They have wonderful stories of believers and different kind of devotional, how God is touching their life. But sometimes they have these snippets on the bottom of the page. And I think this is where I heard it and learned it. I am so sorry I cannot give the proper credit. But it's one of those like little formulas, little life lessons that's pretty easy to tuck in your brain if it means something to you. And it was a way for us all to have joy in our life. It's like the joy formula. And if you follow it, it's much easier to hold on to joy no matter what's happening in life. And it starts with J, Jesus. To keep Jesus center, keep Jesus the focus, to be serving Jesus in all ways. Now, you might not like every one of your actions that Jesus knows, but he still loves you through it. And if you keep Jesus the focus, it's so much easier to have joy in life. And then O, others. Oh, doesn't Jesus tell us that over and over? This is my new command, to love one another. If you want to please God, it's to love others. It doesn't say you have to love them perfectly. It doesn't say you have to agree with everything they do. It doesn't say you have to cater to them hand and foot. It says to love each other. Have a relationship And sometimes it's going to get messy because as humans, we're messy. And then the why? Yourself. Jesus loves you. And nowhere in the scriptures does it say, don't ever think of yourself. Don't ever count yourself as part of the group. Don't take yourself away. Just maybe it doesn't have to be the focus. And I don't know about you, but when I put yourself first, you've got why, Joe? And I don't even know what that means. But I know it gets messy and gets complicated, and I'm still pretty grumpy. But when I put Jesus first and let that love spill over to others, and then I kind of like myself in that moment too, like, oh, Jesus, I see you. I see the wonder in other people. They're teaching me and encouraging my faith and the hope. When you keep that combination, it's a lot easier to hold on to joy. And do you know who knew this formula better than anyone? My good friend John the Baptist. Ugh, anytime we read about John, he is pointing that arrow to Jesus, is he not? I mean, even from before he was born, when we meet him in the scriptures, and he is in Elizabeth's stomach, and Mary comes to tell her the great news that she was carrying Jesus. Who recognized Jesus? John. That John leapt for joy in her stomach. He already knew. He could already recognize his life purpose was to point back to Jesus at every chance he could, and how he carried that into adulthood. That when we meet John the Baptist as an adult, he must look peculiar. And I say that because they make a big deal about his appearance. Now, when you like read a novel and they're trying to create this character for you, they tell you all about the hair color, the eye color, what kind of clothes they wear, what they live in. But if you notice, that doesn't really happen in the Bible that often. Appearance really wasn't that big a deal. So when they bring up something like that, you're like, well, that's interesting. There should be something I notice about this. Well, they tell you that John the Baptist is covered in camel hair, and that he's eating locusts and honey. So this is also not a typical diet, we can tell too. What this tells us is John truly lived in the wilderness, that John wasn't easily shaken or conformed or following the fads that everyone else is, that John was living how God instructed, so that his focus could be to tell people about Jesus. And as he's baptizing them, as he's cleansing them, he says, I baptize you in water, but there's someone greater coming. He's preparing the way for Jesus. And he says, by the way, I'm not even worthy to tie this man's sandals. Do you know what the equivalent of that? That he wasn't worthy to tie Jesus' sandals. That's pretty low on the totem pole of class. And he's like, not even worthy. And he's going to come. The one I'm preparing you for is coming to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. I've only got water to work with, but the Holy Spirit is coming. That's how great and magnificent this man who is following me is. And whenever we see John the Baptist or hear about him or read about him, he's pointing to Jesus. One of my favorite verses in John is when he says, I must become less so he can become greater. Talking about Jesus. Another person who has that kind of mentality, Paul. I don't care if you see weaknesses in me. That just proves how much stronger Jesus is. That just shows you how God is changing my life. And that's how John is saying about Jesus. It's not about me. I am just the messenger to prepare the way so that you know, so that you see Jesus, so that you are ready to meet him when you come across him. Won't that be a glorious day? And that's what we as Christians, when we wear that label, say, I am so excited to tell you about Jesus. At Duncan last week, we had a youth Sunday. So we had four youth who shared in the message telling about their faith. And they each did it in such a different way. But they're great examples how we can share our faith. There's no one way. There's not the right way or the wrong way. Share Jesus however Jesus is working in your life. One of them came out and shared how a poem connects them to their faith, like it kind of resonates with them. Like when you share your favorite Bible verse with someone, that's sharing Jesus in a very authentic way. Another one brought up how they love baseball, like that's their passion in life, and how they connected Jesus to that, that Jesus is with them at the ball field because that's where they're spending most of their time. If you spend most of your time at a grocery store, I hope Jesus is there with you. Wherever you go, let Jesus be there. One of my holiest, holiest spots, I say, with Jesus is the car. Oh, how we've had some of our best talks there. Because I share it all. The good, the bad, the ugly. And cell phones are so great now that you can just talk all you want in your car and people don't know. They don't know you're talking to yourself or talking to Jesus. You could be talking on the phone, they don't know. And you can do that in the grocery store too now these days. I can't tell you how many people I've answered. Oh, not talking to me, fair. But share Jesus, how Jesus is touching your life. Where is Jesus bringing joy? Another one of our youth brought up the mentor, how they've had these people in their life who've mentored them in their faith. That could be anything from a boss, a coach, a teacher, a family member, a friend, a stranger on the street connecting you to your faith. And the last one shared how a person in the Bible, they really relate to that story. David and Goliath was his example. But when you read the Bible, I hope you notice that there are people that are just like you. Maybe they had the doubts you have. Maybe they were called the way you feel Jesus called you out of nowhere. Maybe you were feeling unworthy and a sinner, and Jesus sat with you and said, "It's okay. Go and sin no more. Go and do better." I relate to Peter, the disciple. Oh, I understand Peter on such a level. He's always so ready to go for Jesus. He's always eager beaver, and then consequences come, like, oh. Right? I love how he just runs out on the water. "Jesus, if you're walking on water, I can too." And then all of a sudden it hits Peter that he's not Jesus. And he loses sight of Jesus in that moment. And the world drags him down. I love when Peter jumps in front of Jesus and says, "Jesus, don't go that way. You could get hurt." And Jesus says, "Satan, be gone." Oh, I feel the arrows that Peter felt. "Jesus, I'm your friend. How could you say that?" And then how Peter declares in those last hours, in that last meal with Jesus, "I love you, Jesus. I am always for you. Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. And I just can see the look of crestfallen. "Jesus, I would never." And sure enough, he does. I hope when you read the Bible, there are people you are with. Because that's one of our biggest joys, are these relationships. And we see this in this exchange between Jesus and John. John sends his disciples. Because where is John? In prison. Rightfully so? No. Someone had a vengeance, and he is now in jail. But he takes it like a champ. And he makes sure that he is still pointing the way to Jesus. Even from his jail cell, he takes his disciples and says, "You go see Jesus. And you go make sure this is who I've been pointing to. You go make sure this is the man I say you need." And Jesus answers the disciples. Here's my message for John. Could Jesus have said, yes, I'm the one you're talking about? Absolutely. Would that have been enough evidence? Oh, for us today, sure. But he wanted them to understand. And so he tells them, you say this to John. The blind, they see. The deaf, they hear. The lame can walk. And the poor are hearing the scriptures. Now, A, this points back to all the teachings John studied. And this comes from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 35, 4 through 6. Isaiah 41, 7 and 18. Nope, sorry, Isaiah 42. 7 and 18, Isaiah 61 and 1. And it points to all of that, that one will come and do this. But isn't that alone good news? If you've had a loved one who can't see and all of a sudden they can see beauty, they could see this beautiful chrismon tree that we have behind us, the white globe ornaments, that they can see these beautiful stained glass windows, and if they hadn't been able to see that before, how that's a miracle. And for those who have been deaf, can hear. Oh, when you've had that bad head cold that just stuffs up everything, and the only thing you can hear is your own voice, and it sounds like it's just echoing in your head, and then you wake up and you're like, you can breathe through your nose and your ears, you're like, I can hear. How that is a day to rejoice. And anyone who has stubbed their toe, had the surgery, had a broken foot, that day you can go without a cane or a crutch. Oh, praise Jesus. What good news to celebrate. And this is what the prophet had predicted. And then this about giving the poor the message. Who do we target when we have a great idea that we want to get out in the market? Well, we're going to go to the rich people so that they can fund it for us. And then we're going to go to the mega giants, whether it be influencers or those who are high up and successful. Hey, could you just give me a shout out? How that would promote me so well. We want to go to the rich and the ones who can affluence. But the gospel, Jesus' message, Jesus didn't care how much money you have. Jesus didn't care what you could do for him. He came to share the word, to come share God's love, to break bread together. That was Jesus. And that included the poor, who had been very left out. And that Jesus made a point to share the good news with them. That's a powerful ministry. And then as these disciples are going back to John to share the message, Jesus is like, by the way, let me tell you about John. He's the one you guys were seeking out. And I hear that he didn't quite meet your expectation. So were you going out to the wilderness to find someone who was dressed in fine linen? Well, that's ridiculous. That's not where you would wear that. That's for the people in the palaces, not the one who's out there on the streets sharing the message. Those would become tattered quickly. For those of you, why were you going out? To see someone who was going to bend with the wind? Go with the masses? Of course not. This is the one who's leading you to me. He's going to have to be a man of conviction, a man who isn't easily swayed, but has the strength and faith to stand tall even by themselves in this wilderness, to share the good news. And people, when I tell you, no one on this earth has been born as great as John the Baptist, please know that he still would be the lessest of those in the kingdom of heaven. That wasn't a slam against John. That was the highest compliment Jesus could have given him. You're not going to meet anyone better here. But for what awaits us in the kingdom to come, we haven't even begun to taste that level of love or peace or joy. What a message. That there is so much more good to come, and that we get a glimpse to celebrate today.